McAllister still going strongly in the closing minutes. Great run by Kevin McAllister! What a goal that is!
Delivery's good, there's Hagen. Now McGregor, he's scored!
It's Stokes on a hat-trick! Goal number three for Anthony Stokes.
Alston saw off Robertson and delivered! Sybold scores! That's the goal! That's the moment! Samuel off and running again. Is it going to be the hat-trick? You know it is.
This is Falkirk Daft.
Well, 40 hours on, I don't know about you, but I am still raging. Hello, welcome to Falkirk Daft. My name is John McAnally, and what you're about to hear, probably not for the faint-hearted, and for those across the water, this is going to sound like pornography for them if you're watching or listening. Simple fact is, on Tuesday, Falkirk were out-muscled, out-fought, and outplayed by Dunfermline. That's it laid out at the table right there. And I had to say it, has to be said, sometimes you just got to hold your hands up in life. And on Tuesday, we've got to hold our hands up, as both as a football team and as a support, and just say they were the better team. But why? Why were they the better team? That's a question we want answered on this week's Falkirk Daft. To answer that, I am joined by the one and only, not Chesney Hawks, it's Ross Wayne. How are you feeling?
Good evening, sir. Same as you, probably. Just a little bit. Numb from it, I suppose, because I went through a huge range of
like mourning, isn't it? You go through the ranges of mourning, isn't it?
Yeah. So Tuesday night was obviously brutal. There's no sugarcoat it. It was awful. As you said, for a huge chunk of it, maybe 50 minutes, we were out muscled, out fought, and eventually outplayed. Dodgy first goal aside, and it does seem to be on the dodgy side, we didn't really look like winning the damn game, which is the frustration for me. And we had a lot of the ball, which I know we're gonna dissect the game in a minute, but we had an awful lot of the ball. Didn't really do much with it, if I'm being honest. They let us have a lot of the ball, and we did, but we barely scratched them.
No, didn't let it go off. So, five stages of grief, Ross, are denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. Where are you at this point?
I'm probably acceptance now, if I'm being
acceptance.
Honest. Yeah, what about you? Are you still in the anger stage?
I'm probably still in the anger stage, I'll be honest with you. No, it's a hard one to take. We've just said, so no news, no nothing, no big question this week. We've obviously done an episode earlier in the week, so it's just me and Ross talking about this game on Tuesday. We've not really had the chance. Ross, you were sat a few rows down from me. It's strange when you went into the stadium, but it was the first time I think I've been in East End where it's been people were looking to sit in their allocated seat. I was moved about a few times.
Yeah, I don't think it helped the atmosphere, if I'm being honest, John. I was a wee bit disappointed because it was a huge crowd. We took just over 2,500, and out of 2,500 that were probably up for the match, probably less than half. I was really disappointed with the crowd. And I know the fans feed off the players and the players feed off the crowd, right? But this was a derby game against Dunfermline. And even from the off, I was really disappointed with the noise. And you know where we were standing, sitting, and the atmosphere wasn't as good as it should have been.
Over we were in the far left. It seemed all young people went to the far right, you know.
We were main stand side because we couldn't get in anywhere else when we came in, to be honest. But yeah. Yeah, a wee bit subdued for me, considering the first half wasn't the worst from a Falkirk perspective. Like, we had a lot of the ball. As I say, we didn't do much with it, but the crowd just, like, the I would say half the crowd were just sitting on their hands, and the voices were like that, and I don't know why.
So let's talk about the match, Ross. Dunfermline 2, Falkirk 0, Breen and Todd. For Dunfermline, one change for Falkirk. Wee Max was in for Hendel. We were speaking earlier in the week about changes we'd have made. That is one of the changes we suggested, but however, it was, I would have had Wee Maxson for McGinn. However, the way that Liam Henderson went off on Saturday, presumably, you know, we were told because of he was ill, that's obviously probably why the change was made. We used to, I mean,
I wasn't shocked to see Max in because he'd played really well in the last couple of weeks. As you said, I if somebody wasn't playing, I would assume he would have came in for maybe Stephen McGinn. But it is a big game, it's Dunfermline, and you want your best team on the park. If Hendo's not been fully fit, then I can understand why he didn't start the game. That said, he obviously did come on and play a huge chunk. So, in hindsight, should he have been better starting and Wee Max been on the bench? We'll never know, I suppose, because it's hindsight, isn't it? But we lost the midfield battle quite a bit on Tuesday night at points in the first half as well. They're a very, very steady team. We talked about this before about their defence. It doesn't leak much, and you can see why. And we didn't touch them at all on Tuesday night.
I mean, I think, you know, if Henderson was available to play, you know, he came on for half an hour odd, I think he probably should start just for the physicality of him in that midfield. And even though, I mean, this is the thing, I thought Burrell and Henderson played all right when they came on, but then we went two goals down.
Yeah.
You know, which I thought they actually both came on and made a difference in the game, but then, you know, when they came on, we went two goals down, which I found surprising. But just for the physicality, and you can see Dunfermline are a big, solid, tight team, you know, a big, big team, a big, physical, strong team, you know, and they, as I said at the start, they out-muscled, out-fought us in every department, pretty much. But yeah, it's, you know, I think Max had his race. He started brightly in that first half, you know, got on the ball a bit, but his race was run after about 50 minutes.
Yeah, you saw him tire pretty dramatically, to be honest. And he's obviously not had a lot of football. He's not played a lot of 90 minutes, so that's maybe not too much of a shock. Maybe that was the plan. But obviously, McGinn went off instead of... and for once, actually, McGinn didn't really look knackered. Because normally he does look after about 65, 70 minutes. He looks like he's ready to come off. And I didn't really get that from him when he went off at that part. And I kind of think we missed him thereafter. But as you said, the damage was starting to get done by that point, wasn't it, John? And we never got going in the second half.
The first half, I mean, you talked about the first half there. It was a relatively bright start from us. We came out, we held the ball well. We had that typical Morrison to Oliver glancing header moment. But then we started making little mistakes, started creeping into the game. Their crowd started to get lifted by that. I mean, Kai Kennedy showing up a bit bright, you know. We had the ball which went right across the box with no takers on the end of it. He had the chance where he kind of came in and inside, and
yeah, I thought that was a great, that looked like it was going to go in at the far post, didn't it? So
and he had all these, you know, there was these little chances. There was nothing clear cut though, absolutely, you know, nothing clear cut. And when you look at the actual stats for the game, you know, Falkirk, two shots, one on target.
It's not good enough. You're not gonna beat the team at the top of the table with the stats like it was. Like I think the possession was pretty close, but then that's probably more so down to the fact that we had so much of the ball in the first half, but we didn't do much with it, and they were letting us play an awful lot of football.
Oh, they were just defending the halfway line. It was almost kind of rope-a-dope tactics in a way, you know, the old Muhammad Ali. They just like, right, we're going to sit in here, we're going to defend our halfway line. I thought Cole Donaldson had Whiting in his back pocket, you know, for that, you know, for most of the game. But then they had the big chance comes off the post. And that was just before half time. And you're going, right, okay, Falkirk, you need to get in there and get yourself sorted out. But McPake got his tactics absolutely spot on. He just sat in, he defended that. We didn't know how to play around him. We didn't know, you know, Morrison and Kennedy didn't, and hats off to Dunfermline's fullback is McDonald and Edwards. They were outstanding, by the way. They were, you know, they got doubled up on every time. Kennedy and Morrison were doubled up on every single time, and they didn't know what to do. They did not know what to do.
No, it wasn't. They didn't have good games at all. Kennedy probably had a better game than Morrison, to be honest. Obviously, Morrison then had a cock up later on in the game as well, which didn't help him. But yeah, as you're saying, the fullbacks, they nullified us. Their centre halves didn't have much to do, if we're being honest. You're right with Cole Donaldson. I actually thought he was between him and the keeper as our best players on Tuesday night for me. Yeah, so just a real, real struggle of a first half. And whilst we had so much of the ball at halftime, I remember speaking to you at halftime and saying, look, we now need to lift it, but we didn't. They lifted it.
I know. I mean, it has been, you know, a trademark Falkirk, I think, this season, is the first half. We've not been brilliant. We'd always seem to be a second half team.
Yep.
This season, you know, we looked at the first half against Peterhead there, looked at the first half against Alloa. You know, we've really kind of sometimes struggled in that first half. You know, we seem to be more of a second half team. What do you put that down to, Ross? Is it, or is it just Dunfermline's tactics there on Tuesday?
Listen, I don't know if it's just Dunfermline's tactics on Tuesday. Dunfermline have obviously had the same tactics almost all season, which is just to grind out a result, and they ground out a result. I don't think they played the best football on Tuesday night, but they won the game, and it sounds like that's a bit of a story of their season.
You would rather have that, wouldn't you?
I'd rather be 8 points clear of them than 8 points behind them, obviously. But
exactly.
I don't think, from a footballing perspective, you didn't see them do much. Like, let's face it, the goals were a couple of defensive car crashes. Obviously, there's a bit of dubiety over the first one, but
a bit.
Well, yeah, we're not seeing it clear cut. It looks like it's not over the line, but then the Kinnear seems to have his full body over the line, but it's obviously really, you can't see the how the line was gave it. I'll never know. A Falkirk based linesman at that as well, which is bonkers. But yeah, how that was given. The second one was just an absolute shambles of a calamity. So,
well, let's talk about second half, because that's where the goals came. Dunfermline, it's Falkirk didn't know what hit them in that second half. They came out, and we talked to Craig obviously earlier in the week about McPake and his change up of tactics. And, you know, I'm using the analogy of the kind of rope-a-dope, but it's like, we'll just defend the halfway line. You know, and it's almost like Falkirk came out and expect that in the second half, but Dunfermline came bang, straight out, high press, let's push them and let's see what they've got.
Yeah,
you know, and we didn't have any answers for it.
Mm-hmm. No, we didn't have any answers for it at all. And we looked very, very nervous. And like, I know we talk about Falkirk shitting the bed at big games. It felt and looked like that in the second half. Big crowd, big game, and we're not turning up for it. It's just not good enough, because, and that feels like a really sad thing to say, because we've had such a brilliant season overall, and we have. Let's not make any bones about it. We've had a brilliant season. On a normal season, we would probably be coasting this league if with the form that Dunfermline have been in. But it was just not good enough at all in that second half. More than anything.
The goal was coming. The goal from the kickoff, the goal was always coming. Big chance, obviously, from the corner. McDonald blazed over the bar, you know, for about 5-6 yards, right? Then we took Brian with a great save, a big hand from him to push it round the post. Before, again, we come undone from a corner. Now, I don't think it was over the line when you look. You know, I think everyone's seen that video. I don't think it was over the line. And like you say, how the linesman, when you see where the linesman's standing and seems to that body person, he's given it. You know, and you can see the protest immediately from the Falkirk players running across, right? I don't think it would have made a difference. I'm holding my hand. I don't think that made a difference. Because, I mean, they were just, they came out and Falkirk didn't know how to deal with it. Simple as that.
I think the goal did change. It changed the tempo of the game, John. I don't disagree. It felt like if somebody was going to score, it was going to be them, right? However, that incident did change then the intensity of the game, because I think I as soon as they scored, I actually thought, we're not getting back into this game, because they had the momentum, they had the crowd behind them, they were noisy. They were up for it. And I go back to our crowd. I think there was a huge, huge Falkirk support there. And it's brilliant that we all went through. But when the team need that little extra man. We didn't have that on Tuesday, and they definitely had that. And I know it's a home game, but if I think back to the home game at our place in November as well, for their having been 6,000 Falkirk fans in there that night as well, over 6,000 actually, it was kind of the same. We just need to be a bit more up for this, and same with the players. It's not all on the fans. The players are wearing the shirts, but it was just a real odd situation.
Yeah, it was another goal loss from a corner, the first one, which we've been talking about and moaning about this on the podcast, I think since, you know, pre-season when we lost all those goals against Kilmarnock from set pieces. Mm. It has been a real Achilles heel for Falkirk this season, with, you know, when you look at how we defend, and it's at the back post that it seems to be that we're losing the goals as well. And as you said earlier, I thought Cole Donaldson had a decent enough game, and I think maybe him, Rowe, and probably the goalkeeper, well, we'll get to the second goal in a minute, but they'll probably get past match. But I just, you know, we've as a support have seen the deficiencies from corners and set pieces, so I just don't understand why the management and the players, and I'm sure they're working on it, and
yeah.
But it's really frustrating, really, really frustrating to see.
It's very frustrating, mate. And it's not as if we've got like a team of short arses either. Like we've got height in the team.
And saying that, I mean, the physical, when you've got, I mean, Liam was on at the part of that time. And when the subs were made, and I talked about that, it was like when Burrow and Henderson came on, I said, well, that's probably the right subs to make. You know, and then Burrow gave them lots of trouble, you know, and there was probably a question again, could he have started? But again, you go back, Gary Oliver's played so well. Mm-hmm. You know, over the
Gary
last...
Oliver did not have a good game on Tuesday night.
No, he didn't. He
could have actually, even though we had a lot of the ball, he didn't see a lot of the ball on Tuesday night. So there's an argument whether we could we have made the change earlier, or made a change to the team, because I go back to how much of the ball we had in the first half. Didn't really look like doing any of it.
No, I mean, it was all pass. I thought Nesbitt huffed and puffed, but didn't really, you know, he's obviously got a great motor on him, Aidan Nesbitt, and he was up and down the park, but he just kind of huffed and puffed and nothing came. Now, like, McPake switched it tactically, but it was very much for Falkirk. It was like, well, let's just keep trying to do the same thing and it'll eventually work. When we saw the trouble that Morrison and Kennedy were having on both sides, I mean, Kai Kennedy, you know, was getting there, and he just didn't seem to know what to do. He was checking back. And again, is that because no one's in the box for him? You know, Morrison didn't, you know, they were kept doubling up and he just really struggled. And again, I think a couple of Dunfermline supporters kind of flagged up their fullbacks. They were both excellent, you know, and certainly in midfield as well. I thought, you know, Chambers and Mockery and stuff, they won the midfield battle as well. It was just so frustrating considering how well we've done over the last 12 games, you know?
Yeah, no, and we have done really well, John. In fact, it's not just it's the full season, because if you take out the two Dunfermline games,
well, granted, we've lost
a couple of silly games, because what's that, five games we've lost now, which in a normal season would win you the league. If you only lose five games in a season, granted we've got a quarter left to go, that would normally be the sign of a team that's either going to win it or be very, very close to winning it. There is still a quarter to go. I think we're all in agreement now that it's probably highly unlikely that we are going to finish top of this table, because the odds are stacked against us, right? There is 36 points left to play for, though.
36. I love you. Oh, here we go. No, I love it. Right, I love the positive. You're definitely at acceptance stage, because there's absolutely no. I am not sitting here with you wrong. Let's see how many points Dunfermline have dropped.
Oh, listen, John McGlynn said after the game they're very, very, very unlikely to drop that many points, John. I don't expect either, but as we know from personal experience, do you remember being 9 points clear in April a couple of years back? And I'm not saying, I don't want to compare us to Dunfermline, because Dunfermline are a far solid unit than we were even in that League One season, right? We weren't as tight at the back as they are, but we were 9 points ahead something like the 20th of April and we didn't even make the playoffs. So I don't want to say they can collapse, but if they have an injury or two or three or whatever the case may be, you never know. There is 36 points left, John, but I think it's highly unlikely, very highly unlikely that they'll crumble. They could, but it's very unlikely.
They've dropped 19 points in 27 games.
Exactly. So, and they've only got 9 left to.
And I'll tell you this right now. Judging on what I saw on Tuesday, we'll drop more points than they will. That trip to Montrose fills me with the trip to.
John, I think before Tuesday, I don't think you would have said that. I don't think you.
I know. I would have said. I would have said that because I'll tell you what. The trip to Montrose fills me with fear. That's for sure. I mean, I think we're pretty solid in second. I think we'll get second, but we'll definitely drop more points. Because when people figure out Falkirk, as we've seen previously, that's when things change.
But are we suggesting
McPake figured us out? McPake figured us out.
I know, but you know, he figured us out in November, and we still went on an 11-12 unbeaten run. So. I don't think it's as easy as that. I think Dunfermline are a stronger team and they're currently better than us. As we said at the top of the episode, right? But I think it's mental to say that we're going to lose loads of points now just because we lost to Dunfermline on Tuesday night.
I don't think we're going to lose loads of points. Don't get me wrong. I don't think, but we'll lose more points than they will.
McPake
is just steamrolled this league. And I mean, we talked about it before, they're not great. But
he knows
how to play this league. And it just seems that, you know, he changes things. And we talked to Craig earlier on in the episode about his change of tactics, about his change of personnel and what have you. We just don't seem to have that in us. When the cards go down and when we go 1-0 down and we go 2-0 down as we did on Tuesday, it's just like John doesn't seem to know what to change. Again, it's that keep doing plan A better. This is what we need to do. I mean, we saw a few subs come on. Obviously, Burrow came on. We threw on Jordan Allen and what have you. But still, it was just like that was like the last roll of the dice.
Right? I do get what you're saying, and I think your opinion's right and very much spot on against Dunfermline because we've now been out thought twice, right? But we have. Even in the last few weeks, we've came back from a losing position to win games. So, like Airdrie, as a for instance. So, I think we do have it in us. I personally, I'm confident that we'll, as you've said, comfortably finish second. In terms of when you look at the fixtures on paper, I don't think we need to fear the last 9 games. Like plus the Dunfermline game that we've got is at home, where we have been pretty strong. I think, obviously, we don't want them bloody winning the league at our place. So,
absolutely not.
But Monday, if you look at Monday as well, like I just think even like imagine if we won on Monday as well, you've then got a semi final. Which is then going to give everybody another boost after a kick, the kick in the balls that was Tuesday.
Yeah, but I mean that's absolutely fine, and it will be absolutely galvanised if we win on Monday. But we're not going to win. There's no way we're going to win the league. I mean, I cannot say, Ross. I love your point. I absolutely admire your positivity. But I'm just
John, I'm just saying there are 9 games left, and
right.
I think until
let's run through who Dunfermline have got in their 9 games. Right, Peterhead away
because there's 9 games left. But
well, I know, but just in terms of the homes away, so Peterhead away.
Well, that'll be it should be a Dunfermline win. Of course it should be, yeah.
Edinburgh at home.
Tough tie. Edinburgh's given them, well, probably not so much bother. No, that's probably not going to cause them too much bother.
Throws away potential.
Tough tie. But we've got the same game, though, haven't we? So, yeah.
Dunfermline, they've got Kelty at home.
Derby game. They've had tight games with Kelty. That's obviously an obstacle we're going to have to try and overcome because we've had a couple of tough games against them. But yeah, okay.
Okay, then we've got them at the stadium. Mm-hmm. Must win, and we can't let them win.
Well, it has to be for us. Uh-huh.
It has to be an absolute must win, yeah. We can't have this season going through. We're not beating Dunfermline.
No.
Queen of the South at home. Airdrie away, which is the potential banana skin, which would have been one that we would have been looking at if we had been had won there on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Then they've got Clyde at home and they finish off with Alloa away. So potential point drops, you can see. If Alloa are still gunning for a playoff place, that last game, I think by the time we get Peterhead will be down. I think Peterhead will be probably. Done and down by that point.
Probably.
But you go Alloa, I would say Airdrie, potentially Montrose. Mm. Let's say they get beat off Airdrie and they drop points at Montrose and Alloa. I mean, that I can't see them slipping up in much of their
then home game. If that were to play devil's advocate, say they drop points in the games you've just said, and we beat them, which is obviously the caveat, right?
Yeah.
There's your gap done.
Right, so you're going to say we're in the league. Oh, well,
I'm agreeing with you. I'm agreeing with you. So.
Right, listen, Ross, and if we win this, what will I do if we win the league? I don't know, but I'm just... Oh.
John, I'm not, honestly, I'm as positive as I am. I'm not sitting here saying we're gonna win this league, because realistically, as it stands just now, we're nowhere near it, right? But there is a lot of football to be played.
Yeah,
an awful lot of football to be played.
I like the positivity. Right, okay, let's hear from the manager, John McGlynn, who caught up with Lewis after the game.
John, a disappointing result tonight. In your own words, what went wrong?
Nah, I thought the first half were the better side. I thought we controlled the first half. They're creating a hell of a lot, but there was hardly any chances, but I thought we were a better side. I thought, you know, Gary's had a header on target early on. Kai Kennedy's got in behind him down this side here and got a ball across the face of the goal. I thought we controlled the first half. They, at the very end of the first half, had a shot from distance that hit the post. But the second half, we didn't start the second half, and we've no actually done anything in the second half, which is really disappointing. We didn't start. They started the second half much better. They had an opportunity for a corner kick where they've actually put the ball over the bar for quite close range. And there was another opportunity not long after that, and it kind of set the tone for the second half. We didn't really rise to that kind of challenge that we'd expected from. And obviously they get the goal and they get their tails up. And we make a mistake for the second goal. And then, you know, we've got to try and change things and try and get, something that's going to try and click. But it just didn't. The second half was poor from our point of view, so we're disappointed with that. I think when we're on top in the first half, we've got to score. We've got to score in that period. They didn't look great in the first half. We looked like we were a better side. But when you're on top, you've got to try and score. You've got to score when you're on top. And we didn't. And then we've been made to pay for that in the second half. So a little bit disappointed, and we didn't react better, you know, to going behind. So that's a little bit disappointing. We're just going to have to take it on the chin. It's, in the title race now, 8 points. It's certainly not over, and we certainly won't give up. But we've got to just settle down. We've got a massive game coming up in the Scottish Cup. You know, the guys have done superbly well. And, so much so that we're 90 minutes away from Hampden, and we've still got a lot to play for this season. So as much as it's a sore one, we're not going to crucify ourselves. The boys have been fantastic. We're not going to throw anyone under the bus. We've been really good. And one game's not going to kill a season, albeit that, it's made it a little bit more difficult with regards to winning the league. But we'll keep going, and we'll be ready for Air United on Monday night.
So you go. What do you make of that, Ross?
Honest assessment, to be honest. He's not sugarcoated it. As we've said as well, we had a lot of the ball on first half, didn't really do much with it. And we just weren't at the races at all in the second half. So he's also right, though, that we've got a huge game. Granted, it's not a league game, but we've got a huge game on Monday night, which they don't, if any of that lot are listening. So while they're, we'll be hopefully having a party while they're tucked up in their beds, as they said on Tuesday night. And we've also got a really, really good chance at a playoff this year. I'd be shocked if we don't. I don't want to count our chickens, because we've just said about Dunfermline losing points, and we've got about the same points difference to third place. But we've got a really, really strong chance that the playoffs were in a good place with. I still think John McGlynn's probably a playoff, a window another window away from having a really, really strong starting 11 or a stronger starting 11. And I'm sure he'll do it in the summer, regardless of what league we're in.
No, absolutely. I mean, we'll talk about the Cup game. We're going to speak to Alistair, who's a big Ayr supporter. We're going to talk about the Cup game in a bit. But my worry is, you know, Dunfermline, the way Dunfermline played against us and the way we played against Dundee twice this season. I mean, we played Thistle and we absolutely battered them. But I think Thistle just had a really weak inside. My worry is when we get to that playoff, and I think we'll get to playoff, and if we do face a championship side, I think just that indicator that we saw on Tuesday night, that worries me. That really is, I've not felt worried all season, but that has worried me on Tuesday night.
It's a concern, John, because it's right to be concerned, because obviously we've faced, if you think back to playoffs of old, against teams from higher league, we've been rolled over. So, but we do have a bit about us, and I know we didn't see it on Tuesday night, but we've seen it in a lot of games this year where we have come back from a losing position, or we've had to make changes. We've got a right strong bench there, and I think you said that earlier. The changes we made did make a difference. The trouble was, almost every other player was not at their A game. Like, Morrison's had his worst game in a while. Mm-hmm. Kennedy didn't play effectively well. As much as I absolutely love the wee guy, Max didn't really have a great game on Tuesday night. McGinn did okay. Big Cole did okay. Liam McCann's probably had his worst game of the season. Blaine Rowe was great, yep. I know a lot of people are kind of pointing a finger at Big Kinnear, but actually, when your defense.
I mean, we didn't talk about the second goal. We didn't really talk about the second goal there, Ross. I mean, it was a shit show, an absolute.
It was shit. From start to finish. Uh huh.
Like Morrison, I don't know why he's playing that ball into Kinnear. Kinnear's obviously taken a swipe, but it's hit off a Dunfermline player, and it's I don't know who it was. Was in the middle. I think it was Sean Mackey actually, who I thought had. I don't think he had a great game. Again, I just think, again, I went with Brad McKay. We talked about on a couple of shows ago about putting Brad McKay in against Peter Head just for his physicality at set pieces and things like that. In hindsight, it's maybe a change you would have made. But Sean Mackey, you know, got Ben Bristol, and it was just such a stupid goal to lose, a really, really idiotic goal.
It was, and if I'm being honest, John, it felt when that one went in, that could have been. The way our luck and night was going, I feared it was going to be like a bit of a dickhead, to be honest, from an official scoreline. But obviously it finished at 2. So, which thankfully is as bad as it got from a scoreline.
Not mentioned the ref, Ewan Anderson. Thoughts? I mean, there was a high boot on Blaine Rowe, which could potentially have been a red.
That could have been a red. Again, this is what I'm saying about the crowd, though, John. Like, there was a few, like, I know I burst up, but the full stand should have been up, and that's how you influence. Look at the Dunfermline crowd, they influenced so many situations on Tuesday night.
I tell you what situation they influenced, that far right side. There was a couple of times in the first half when Morrison was out in that out in that corner, and all the stuff that shit had been thrown in the park affected play. Aye. Now, obviously, come the second half, that was all cleared away. Absolutely, all cleared away. But you could tell it was affecting play. The ball was getting hitting off all that. I don't know what shit they were throwing on the park.
There was the crappy paper things that they were holding up at kickoff. So, but the that's where the ref, in my opinion, could have been better on Tuesday.
Should stop the game. Went get that.
Every time something came on, and I don't mean one thing, but there was like 50 things on the park, right? That should have been cleared off and play on. Do you remember when up at Dundee, when these Rangers and Celtic fans, I can't remember which one it was, were protesting against somebody, and they kept chucking stuff on the park. Every time they chucked stuff on mass, it was cleared off by the ref. By the ref, but he insisted it was cleared. But it was purposeful. And as you said, obviously it didn't happen in the second half because they're shooting that way, are they? Of course they are. But then where's the, from the ref's perspective, who allegedly is neutral, the linesman is allegedly neutral, where's the consistency there? So, and every time we took a corner in the first half, the boys were getting belted with the stuff, and I'm sure it wasn't sore because it's bloody paper, right? But Do you know what I mean? And the second half, it was the same at points when we were down there. So yeah, I don't think the ref done enough. I also don't think the stewards and police probably done enough in that corner either.
And the Lino obviously had no the view. You've seen the pictures of where the Lino was for the first goal, and you think, Jesus.
Yeah, how he's gave that, I'll never know.
Obviously not again. Officials in this league, fucking shite. Right, we've got quite a few views on this game, funnily enough, Ross. Peter kicks us off with feedback from Wraith fans is that McGuinn overthinks in vital games and subsequently gets it wrong. He's a good manager, but needs to learn from this. Season isn't over, but it's at a risk of going out with a whimper.
I disagree with that. I don't think it will. I think Monday could be huge for confidence, and it might kick us back in again. I don't think a defeat necessarily means that we're going to have a bad end to the season, but I think because we've shown against everybody else, literally everybody else, that we are more than capable of beating them, right? So I don't think having a bad week is then going to impact the rest of the season. You don't know. I know I don't know that for sure, but we've got so much still to play for. Angela says, forgot to leave the dressing room at half-time. First half held their own, but what was the ref thinking at the home side corner? They deserve to win, but I wish we had turned up in the second half. Playoffs it is then.
Yeah. Scott, other than Nizzy, the rest of the players had a below-par performance. I think the size of the occasion got to quite a few. As Gaffer said, we put that aside and push on. Cup semi if we win on Monday and a favourable playoff position for finishing a good second. Nice positivity, Scott.
Indeed. SB Offshore says, glad I'm back offshore, so I didn't have to witness that firsthand. The team has a serious problem if the opposition press them. Alloa and Kelty being teams that have caused us far too many issues.
I've noticed that as well. See, when someone does a real high intense press on us, as we've seen a few teams try it, we really struggle against that, and we need to find a way around it. And Danny says, wrong team. It's a debate that rears up every time we lose, but too many guys out of form and starting. Yeah, I would agree with that. Dunfermline are a totally different entity to every other team in the league, and the team selection reflect that. Gutting, bottling bastards, says Danny.
Just on that though, John, who was out of form that started? I don't think there was anyone out of form before they get.
I thought Kai Kennedy wasn't great against Peterhead. He wasn't great. I mean, he played well against Airdrie.
But it's not one bad game, though, aren't I? That's harsh.
Well, that's two now.
Well, it's two now, but prior to Tuesday, it's only one. I don't know if
John Mackey, Leon McCann, out of form.
I personally think that's Leon McCann's first bad game of the season. Can't think of another one, but do you know the only way I would agree with that to an extent?
Even again,
it's not. It's not. Guys are out of form, but we know John doesn't pick his team based on who's playing. We know that now because we've said it for weeks and weeks. Surely so and so come in because we're playing so and so. He doesn't do that. He keeps his winning team. So if there's any question, is it that he should be doing what James McPate does and picks his team versus who he's playing? That's probably a fairer argument versus form, because we've just won 12 on the bounce. So I don't think there's a question of form. Michael says, a bad night. Fans were so subdued, which can't help the players either.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I don't know what the answer is, but we saw on Saturday how the fans can affect what happens in the park, but it just felt like the fans and players didn't fancy it tonight. We were outplayed by a better team, sadly.
Yeah, Dave says, McPake had our number. McGuinn has done well, but we never looked great in defence any time I've seen us play and leave the door open far too much. Dunfermline looked well drilled in defending solid lines. We looked at sixes and sevens any time they got to our back line.
Yeah. Martin says, if that was the game plan, then Dunfermline couldn't have written it any better. Never got in behind, and Kennedy continued where he left off against Peterhead, which was anonymous. Absolutely no cutting edge. Sour grapes, but get those balloons to fuck. I know. What balloons is he talking about?
I thought it was balloons rather than paper that was getting thrown.
Oh, I see. No, right.
David said, never looked like a team, couldn't make the ball stick, missed passes, ended up just hitting and hoping. Needed a fast start, but instead we got Kennedy, Oliver and McGuinn, who looked slow and out on their feet from the start. Yeah, can I agree with that? Should have never have started. McGuinn got it wrong.
Linda says, we shat it. deserve nothing, and Dunfermline are nothing special, which makes it even more annoying. Some need dropped for Monday's game for sure. Set-piece defending should be practised every day till the playoffs. I can't remember being this angry.
She's still in the angry stage, Ross, as well. What changes would you make for the game on Monday, if any?
I don't think he'll make too many, if I'm being honest, John.
Hendel back in.
You've mentioned Mackay might come in for Mackey.
I think so. That would be a good.
Will he change Gary Oliver? No, I don't think he will. I think he'll keep Gary Oliver in.
I'd get three across. I'd like the three Mackey in for Mackay in. I'd drop McGinn. I'd put Max into midfield with Hendo, and I'd stick Burrow up front against there. That'd be the three I would make. But hey ho. Maybe McGuffey, because it's his former site, I don't know. Anyway, the real gin says Morrison, Kennedy and Oliver were dire. Can't think of one decent cross from either wing the whole game. There was, and I lied to that, because there was a great ball in from Kennedy that just went right across the box that no one was in the end of. No game intelligence. Also, the drop off in fitness in the second half was worrying. We did look a bit leggy in that second half, I have to say. Why did we start playing hoofball when Burrow came on? However, plenty to play for.
There is a lot to play for. Ryan says, the fans turned up, the team didn't. Embarrassingly poor. League done and dusted without a whimper.
Stephen, arguably our points gap comes down to three games against them, giving them 7 points out of nine. If it was the other way around, they'd be chasing us. Really disappointing performance. Losing is one thing, but the manner in which we lost without having a go is the worst part.
And do you know, that's interesting. So see, for as well as Dunfermline have been all season, they have drawn a lot of games. Yeah. They may yet draw a few games. And as long as we win ours, and that's the hard part, because we've not, but then we've just had almost a full quarter with nine wins. So can we do it? Yes, we can. Will we do it?
All right, Bob the Builder.
I know. I knew you were going to say that. Jamie says the gamble of starting Max didn't work, as we looked a bit lightweight in the middle. They looked like they could score from every corner, just not good enough. What the fuck was Cal thinking for their second? They're solid at the back, but nothing special. However, roll on Monday.
Yeah, we just tried. Cal just tried to play too much football. It was just a stupid ball. You saw it going, you're thinking, oh no. Because the way they were pressing. And Cal finishes up with, couldn't handle the pressing in the second half and resorted to getting rid of it by pumping it long. They stayed off us in the first 35-40 minutes, allowing us to control, but not creativity in the final third. They got the breaks and took the chances. We shat it. Need to remember, even though this is the one we hate to lose more than anything, we now have won 10 out of 12 matches since the start of December. Let's not overreact to one poor performance and go again on Monday. There it is. Go again.
You listen to Callum.
Right, okay. Right, Falkirk Daft rated. Go.
Falkirk Daft rated. Call Donaldson.
I'll go call as well. I thought he had white and didn't he get much of a sniff.
Nope.
Yeah, I think call was. And Blaine, I thought, did a lot of hard work on that right hand side.
Yeah, me too. Blaine and the keeper, Kinnear.
So we'll go for Cole Danielson. Right, Falkirk Daft, who are you going for?
Callum Morrison. There we go.
Callum Morrison, just for that.
Yeah. No, it's not just for the error, but he didn't do anything the full game. I'll grant you, I've not watched it back, and I probably won't. But I just can't recall him doing anything at all. So people are mentioning Kennedy and Morrison. For as quiet as Kennedy was, he had more of the ball, and he was a bit more attack-minded than Morrison for me. What about you?
I don't know. I'm going to go John McGlynn. I'm going to go John McGlynn. I know you hugged him last week, but I'm going to go John McGlynn just for the tactics, the not reacting to how Dunfermline came out. That should have been.
Listen. I don't disagree. I think we could have made changes a hell of a lot earlier than we did.
I know. All right. I'm glad I've got that off my chest now. I feel a bit better now. I might be reaching the next stage. So, I'm going to go way back, watch Craig McGuffey's goal to make me happy now. But if you want to come on Folkerdaft, I'd love to hear for you to look back at the Ayr game next week. You can do that by dropping us. It's just been the two of us because we just need to rant today. You can do that by dropping us a DM on Twitter, Facebook, or email us at folkerdaftpod@gmail.com.
This is Folkerdaft.
Every week on Folkerdaft, we like to look ahead to our next opponent, and it is the big Scottish Cup quarter-final on Monday night, live on the BBC. And join us to represent Ayr, it is Alistair Gemmell. Welcome to Folkerdaft, Alistair.
Hi there, John. Hi, Ross.
Hi, Alistair. How you doing, buddy?
Listen, we need to find out all about Ayr ahead of this game. We've been stuck down in League One, as you may have noticed, for a couple of seasons now, Alistair. So, how's it been going this season?
Yeah, it's been pretty positive, to be fair. I don't think as an Ayr fan we take being in the Championship for granted, as I'm sure you might appreciate as Falkirk fans. So you know, it looks that more than likely we'll be in the Championship again next season, which compared to last season, the season before, was obviously in doubt. So yeah, we're up at the top end of the table. A really good and positive result on Tuesday night, which was much needed after a bit of a slump over the last couple of months. So yeah, it's been a really positive season so far.
Yeah, I mean you're in and about the playoffs. I mean, you were flying at the start of the season under Lee Bullen, Alistair. It's the last kind of month or so. I mean, until Tuesday there, you hadn't won since the end of January. What is it? Just been inconsistency or what's been the story here this season with that?
Yeah, it's hard to put your finger on it, I suppose. I mean, like any club, we've had a couple of key injuries, I suppose. So missing Andy Murdoch from the middle of the park, Frankie Musonda, centre back, has been out injured for a while as well. And obviously a key man for us is Dikko Akinyemi, and he'd had maybe a bit of a quiet spell. I know the club rejected an offer for him, a pretty decent size offer for him in the transfer window, and I don't know whether that maybe, I'm sure he would say it hadn't, but I don't know whether maybe that had a wee impact on him, but thankfully he seems to be back in form now. But a culmination of things, I think, you know, the way the fixture list panned out as well, we kind of have some of the teams towards the bottom in a group and then some of the teams at the top, so maybe just a bit more difficult fixture run throughout the period as well. But yeah, I think it's just the Championship, though, is it? Every team goes on a decent run now and again, has a slump now and again. It's anyone could beat anyone. So,
yeah. Alistair, it's not too far away from the top, though. So, whilst you're saying you're kind of knee deep in the playoffs, which you definitely are, it's not as if the top of the league's insurmountable.
I think that's why the result on Tuesday night was absolutely massive. I think if we'd lost it, then it would have been doom and gloom. You know what football fans are like. We might have been thinking that, you know, we might not even finish in the playoffs. But, you know, won that game and I think we're only 5 points off top now with the last quarter of the season to go. So, you know, absolutely sort of just an absolutely massive result. And, you know, it does really pick up everyone around the club, I think, to think, actually, you know, things aren't that bad and we do have a decent chance here.
Yeah, but you mentioned him there, Akinyemi, Alistair. Let's talk about this man. Came from nowhere, and is that some 17 goals and 7 assists for the season? How important has he been to Ayr United this season?
Absolutely, absolutely massive. Yeah, I think the goals just speak for themselves. I mean, funnily enough, he's come up from Welling United, I think it was, and the League Cup group stages. At the start of the season, you could see he had something, but like nothing was going in for him. And you're like, oh, this guy kind of really, really needs a goal. And I think it was second league game of the season. Yeah, he got a goal, turned a 2-0 half-time deficit against Queen's Park around and won 3-2. And from that point, he's just gone from strength to strength. He is a striker that tends to score goals in groups, and then he might have a wee fallow period. So that's what he's got, two in the last two now. So, but just absolutely... I know.
He's due a dry spell then, Alistair. That's what you're saying.
No. I'm afraid this scoring streak will last a few more than two games, so hopefully.
So is he the main man we're worried about then, Alistair? Or is there anyone else that we should be kind of keeping an eye out for?
Do you know, I would say in an attacking sense, then yeah, it's Depot. If he hadn't have got injured, unfortunately, Josh Mullen would have been one to look out for. We signed him on a permanent deal till the end of the season, at the end of January there. Unfortunately, his form kind of tailed off, and now it looks like he's going to be out until the end of the season with a foot injury. So that's a blow, losing him in an attacking sense. But yeah, absolutely, Depot's kind of the main man to look out for.
Yeah,
I suppose the other one to mention is Chris Maguire, who's only just come in and is a bit of a wild card. Obviously, he's got a big pedigree, but hasn't played a lot of football.
Is that Bebo recently, from Aberdeen, Chris Maguire? They used to call him Bebo up in Aberdeen, didn't they?
Indeed, yeah, that is Bebo. Chris Maguire has signed for us after the window closed, actually. He'd been released from Hartlepool, I think it was. A bit of a wild card. Doesn't look anywhere near fit, but he did manage the near 90 minutes on Tuesday. So, and you can see the quality he's got, if not maybe the legs anymore.
That's interesting. I didn't realise he was turned up at here. What was your reaction when the draw was made, Alistair? Because you obviously fancy it as much as, you know, because we were obviously delighted that he was here because we thought this is our best chance of getting to semi. I guess you had a very similar reaction.
Yeah, probably the same. And actually, I think the overriding thing was I was glad we were away from home. I was glad that it was at Falkirk, to be honest, because we're a better team away from home than we are at Somerset Park.
Well, I think
we dropped too many points at home. I don't know what the reason is, but you know, I think the big artificial surface at Falkirk Stadium will suit us. And I think the fact that, you know, I expect you'll have a decent home crowd there. I don't know how many you're expecting.
Yeah, no, we got an update earlier today, Alistair. There's 5,000 tickets now being sold, I think. From what I gather, the split's about 4,500 currently.
Yeah.
I thought you might have sold a few more, to be honest.
Possibly, yeah. I'd probably agree with that. But I think with that sort of home backing, then it's probably, you know, I might be wrong, but it kind of seems unlikely that... that you'll be able to sit back and, you know, defend, because that's the sort of teams that we've really struggled with this season. You know, we are lucky to be at this stage in the Scottish Cup. We had Pollock first game at home and we really scraped by them, although, you know, we were relatively comfortable. Did okay away to Cove, but the game against Elgin, they should have knocked us out at home. Got a last minute equaliser for us, and, you know, we got a soft penalty in extra time and kind of ran over the top of them then. I think being away from home suits us.
Yeah, it's quite some. We've had quite a similar story in the cup, to be honest with you. Wick, up there, we beat them 6-0. Alloa, we got just past the post against Alloa, but then Darvel, we went and showed them who's the boss down there after the fairy tale. So, but it's been interesting. What kind of style of play can we expect from here then, Alistair?
Yeah, so it's pretty 4-4-2, pretty standard. One of the things that I'm always not sure about is it really is just two in the middle of the park, and you know, I think that kind of worries me that they can be overrun a wee bit. That always is a fear of mine, especially with Andy Murdoch being out. So I think it's been a bit of a struggle for the midfield too over this kind of difficult period. Pretty direct, to be honest. When you've got a striker like Depot Akinwunmi, I don't think there's any harm in trying to get it up to him as soon as possible. But, you know, we'll play probably two wide men as well and someone off Depot. So, yeah, you know, it has been pretty entertaining at times, and, you know, it's pretty front-foot football when we're at our best.
Old-school 4-4-2, there you go.
We're not a team that's interested in keeping possession. We're happy just to kind of get it forward. And I think that's sometimes why we struggle against kind of like the smaller teams when there's kind of a big expectation on us. So, and, you know, I don't think Falkirk fall into that category, thankfully. And, you know, with a big crowd behind them, I'm not too worried about that.
What do you think the score's going to be, Alistair?
I think it'll be a good game. I think it'll be exciting. I think there'll be goals. I don't like making score predictions. But I think we'll edge it.
Ross?
I agree. I think there will be goals. We've obviously scored, what, about 13 goals in the three games we've played. Granted, obviously, the opposition's at its highest just now. I think there'll be goals. I think Falkirk will edge it 3-2.
3-2, there we go. High score. I'll go 2-1 in that case. Listen, Alistair, thanks for coming on, giving us an insight into you. I really appreciate it. Are you going to make it up to the game?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be there.
Fantastic. Brilliant. Well, listen, enjoy your time at the stadium and hopefully you don't win, but we'll enjoy your time anyway.
Thanks, John.
Right, Alistair, thanks for coming on Falkirk Daft. Really appreciate it. We'll see you in the Cup Monday night.
This is Falkirk Daft.
So that's it from a very fiery Falkirk Daft this week. We were almost having a bit of an argument this week, Ross. I quite liked that. It was a bit like Super Scoreboard.
It was a little bit, wasn't it? It was. But listen, we need to focus now.
Focus.
Massive game.
Huge.
We've not given the shout out yet, but we have to make sure we give the shout out. There's going to be a display, John, in the Kevin McAllister stand. Kieran Kuhn got in touch with us on Twitter. It's going to be the full length of the Kevin McAllister stand. So the request is for everybody who's sitting behind the goals on Monday night, get in as sharp as you can. And then I believe it's when the team's coming out, there's navy and white flags in each section, and it's going to look amazing. So it's not something Falkirk have a huge experience with. We don't do a lot of these things, but it's on TV. So as we've just said, there's going to be 4,500 to 5,000 Falkirk fans in the ground, which is brilliant. And we need to make the noise there. We need to be as colourful as we can. And that'll start from kickoff when the teams come out. So
I hope it's better than the bloody those Dunfermline fannies with their banner, "In a big city, dreams stay with you." What the fuck? They got that off a cat poster, man.
Sadly. No, listen, I know. See organised fun. This doesn't really fit. This doesn't normally fit Falkirk, but this sounds like a really nice thing to do. It's on TV, which I think when they originally were going to do it, it was the Dunfermline game back in November, but there was postal issues. So this sounds like it's going to be a belter. We're live on BBC on a Monday night. See if it helps the build up to the game. Let's do it, and let's make sure we're in this draw for the semis.
It's just the club's finances, you know. The Scottish Cup, you know, you would say it's a free hit, but I think we just need this for our confidence. It really just get us over that last bit of the season. Because, I mean, imagine with the headline, the semi-final on the horizon, and you're thinking it'd be great. It would be absolutely amazing. Fingers crossed. Come on, the Bairns. Thank you very much for listening to Falkirk Daft or watching it. If you've got us on YouTube, you can get us on Apple, Spotify if you fancy listening to us. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Falkirk Daft. You get merch, shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/Falkirk-Daft. There's offers coming up on that as well, so keep your eye out. We'll let you know on our social channels. And if you want to get involved in chat, we've got a Discord channel. All the links are below, so you can join up. A lot of our foreign Bairns are on that as well, Ross. We got a message on it the other day there from someone, and I think it was it but I don't know where he is. City in New York, and he's got his car plate in New York is RHFFC. That's
brilliant.
Richie over in New York. So get involved in that. It's great chatting there. And thank you for listening to Falkirk Daft. On to air. Come on, the Bairns. Ross.
Expect unexpected, buddy. Come on.